Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about God orders our steps. We're going to be taking communion over this idea of God orders our steps. I think a lot of times in life, a lot of the frustration and just pressure in life that we feel comes because we get our steps out of order. And it's important that we take the time to allow God to order our steps as we go. Let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. If you are new to us here, this 30-day prayer challenge is the place to start. It's the process we use to examine ourselves, to plan our day with God, to connect with Him, and to get Him navigating and leading so that our steps do get ordered in our lives. But when we take communion, it's important to examine ourselves before we do so. And this is the process of how we do it. But our whole program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, started for me with Proverbs 13:22, which says, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children." And that verse got me thinking, what's more valuable than money that I could pass on to my children, hopefully grandkids one day, would be wisdom. The book of Proverbs tells us that wisdom is more valuable than gold and silver and precious stones and all of these things that we typically chase after in life. Wisdom is more valuable, and God is the source of wisdom. He gives it generously to all who ask of Him, as long as we're not double-minded when we ask. But out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, it turned into a whole program of books and courses and series of teachings and lessons that all stack one on top of another. But out of everything we do, one of the most important things that we do is getting this 30-day prayer challenge process in place. About a 2-minute long prayer that I pray every day over myself and my family, those connected to me, and then doing the other half of prayer to get still, to listen, to plan our day with God, to allow Him to order our steps. And then we combine this with using it as a way to examine ourselves before we take communion. And combining those two things together, I believe if you'll do this consistently, can truly change the trajectory of your life going forward. Let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening to this, and all of their families, their friends, those connected to them. I pray for all of our church and governmental leaders. And I just thank you, Father, for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I just thank you for all the good you've done in our lives, all the good things that you have done, you are doing. As we go forward, we thank you for ordering our steps. And I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world, but starting with the people right around us. We ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain, through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's take just a minute to do the other half of prayer. So what were your wins over the last 24 hours, the last day? What were your wins? What were your steps forward, the things that you got done, the things that you executed that you knew to do, ways that you saw God coming through over the last 24 hours? What were your wins over the last day? And if you want a tracker that you can use to go through this process, you can go to the Abundant Life Training Center com on the free tools and resources page. You'll find some additional training videos that go with this prayer challenge, along with a tracker that you can use to go through this other half of prayer that we're doing and plan your day with God as well. And you can find also a written copy of the prayer there as well. But next question, how are your levels of peace and joy and confidence in God? And it's, remember, it's like a light switch we talk about often. Either God's supernatural peace and joy and confidence in him were flowing or they were not. So it's either yes or no, but it might be a case as well where it was flowing for a little while, but then something got me distracted, something got me off track, and I lost it for a little while. And if that's the case, it's working on sustaining it, staying focused on him, that he's with you, that he's helping you in everything you do, and staying more present as you go throughout your day. Often we get worried about the thinking about the past or worried about the future, getting more present in your day. And one of the things that I want to touch on today is that sometimes when we're lacking peace and joy, it's because something's out of order. Sometimes we get steps out of order. Things are out of position. Things are not where they're supposed to be. I want you to think about order in our life is about positioning. You know, we have the order blueprint for you guys that are our partners in there, the whole sequence of teaching. In the order blueprint, order is about positioning. Order is about putting things in their proper position. And when things are in their proper position, grace flows. Everything gets easier. There's more peace. There's more joy. Everything is much easier when things are in their proper position. Order is about position. But I also want you to remember, nothing in this world stays in its position very easily. There are forces going on in the world that try to knock things out of position all day long. Order only lasts a moment. You have to keep working to sustain it continually. So to keep your mind fixed in peace and joy and these types of things, we got to be following God's lead, taking the steps in order. That's where the grace flows. And also working to sustain that. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Allow him to keep repositioning you, because as time moves forward, the proper positioning for things changes over time. For example, you could have everything in your house in order, but then you get some new things in your house, or circumstances change, or you move to a new house, or who knows what it is. And the proper positioning for things changes over time. That's why you have to constantly be working to reposition and keep things in their proper place. But order has a big part to play in this peace and joy that we feel every day. Next question, what do you know to do over the next 24 hours? What is it that you know to do over the next 24 hours? Might be administrative things, errands that you need to run, little things that you need to do. Maybe you need to mow the grass or get an oil change on your car. I don't know what you need to do. But then we want to get past those things and start to say, all right, what's one thing I could do today that would really move my life forward? What is that thing God's stirring in me that I know to do, that I know he's called me to do? What's one step forward that I could take today in that thing? And there might be some other things like, hey, I know I need to start working out. I need to start eating better. I need to start being more present with my kids. I need to be on my phone less, whatever it is. And if that's the case, just start. Don't make it overly complicated. What step could you take today and how could you just get started? Then our final question. And if you need to pause the video for a second, you can. But God, what's the most important thing that you're trying to teach me, that you're trying to show me over the last 24 hours here? And it's good just to recap. All right, what am I learning over the last day? And what I've learned in my own life is if I have nothing, I get to the end of the day and I didn't feel God was speaking to me. I didn't learn anything new. I don't have any new insights or revelations. I missed it. In my own life, I've learned if that's the case, that I was off track. My focus was off. I was not tuned in very well. You should be learning every single day. God is always trying to speak to you. And we often make hearing his voice overly complicated. We just asked him a question. God, what's the most important thing you wanted me to get out of the last 24 hours? We just asked him that question. If you'll get still and you will listen, he will show you. Whatever comes to mind, just write it down. If you'll make this practice of doing the things that you know to do, staying tuned in, how is my peace? How is my joy? Because those are some great indicators for whether we're on track or not. Staying tuned into that, doing the things you know to do, executing them with a good attitude, and listening to God's voice, following his leading, being teachable and trainable and coachable. If you'll do those things consistently, You'll be amazed at where it will lead you. So let's get into our teaching for today. So we were doing a project in our backyard, and we got the steps a little bit out of order. We did some things in the wrong order. We did some things first that should have been done later, probably. We were putting some finishing touches on things and then went back in to do some other work after we had already put some finishing touches on things. And we had to undo some of the work that we had already done. And now we're working in tighter spaces. And it feels very pressure packed. It feels a little bit frustrating and overwhelming to do these steps. And that's when I began to remember God orders our steps. We didn't wait. We kind of went too fast. And it's important to wait on God and allow him to order our steps. Whenever we get that feeling, I think frustration on the inside or feeling a lot of pressure on the inside are often two of our biggest cues. Emotions are indicators. They're often two of our biggest cues that something's out of order. We took steps out of order in this case. And it's usually because we went too fast and we did not take the time to allow God to order our steps. We didn't wait for him to do that. So I always give the analogy with my kids. Getting dressed in the morning. If you put your shoes on first, and then you try to put your socks on, and then you put your pants on, and then you put your underwear on, it's not going to go very well. You're going to get frustrated. It's going to take you way longer. And the result is not going to be very good because your underwear is over your pants and your socks, you're trying to put them over your shoes. There is a proper order to the way we do everything. And order makes a huge difference in the results that you get, the ease at which you get those results, the time it takes to get those results, and just your overall level of frustration. The order that you do things is very, very important. In just about everything you do, order matters. So let's take a look at a couple of scriptures here. But it says, Proverbs chapter 16, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. So when we make plans, we're supposed to be making plans with God. Give the plan to him. Give the plan to him. And then it says, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So we can make a plan, get a vision of what we want to do, but then we got to give it to God and allow him to determine our steps, allow him to order our steps and put those steps in the right order. A lot of times those steps that we think are the right order are not the right order. It's going to lead to frustration. It's going to lead to pain. It's going to take way longer. It's going to be way harder. And the result is not going to be as good. So learning to take the time to wait on God. I'm going to look at Psalms chapter 37. There's a verse in here talking about how God will order your steps as well. And I actually was looking at it this morning. I was like, you know what? This whole Psalm 37 is pretty good. So we're going to take a look at this. We're just going to read the whole Psalm. Just because there is so much in here in this psalm. This is Psalm chapter 37. This is a psalm of David. It says, do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. The green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. So trust in God means what? We talked about the other day, trust in the light. Trust in God's intentions for you. Trust his character. Trust that he always does what he has promised to do. Trust that he knows the perfect timing. He will execute everything at the perfect timing. And trust what? That he knows what he's doing. He knows better than you do the right steps, the right order of the steps. Trust in the Lord and do good. Very simple scripture there, but there's so much in that. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now notice this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. In the church world, people get very up in arms. They get very angry when you talk about God will give you the desires of your heart. But this is not you seeking after the desires of your heart. You commit your way, you commit your plans to God. He orders your steps and he gives you the desires of your heart. We seek first the kingdom of God. We seek after him. He adds these things to us. It says God gives us freely all things to enjoy. Commit your way to the Lord. So commit your plans to him. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. So we commit our plans to him. Then we got to trust. We got to trust he's going to help us. His intentions for us are good. He wants to make us great. We're going to trust he knows what he's doing better than we do. And he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and your justice, the justice of your cause, like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait for him patiently. Be still before him. Wait for him patiently. Allow him to order those steps. And then when you know what to do, we say often, do what you know to do and do it with a good attitude. But when you don't know what to do, you don't know what the next step is, wait. You have to have a gas pedal and a brake pedal to drive your car safely. Go. When you know what to do, go. Take the steps in order. But when you don't know, wait. Wait for the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn away from wrath. So don't get angry. Do not fret. You ever fretted over something that you want to accomplish? Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose ways are upright, but their swords will pierce their own hearts and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of the many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In times of famine, they will still enjoy plenty. God can take care of you. No matter what's going on, God can take care of you. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Some versions say he will order your steps. When God delights in a man's way, he will order your steps. He will establish your steps, some versions say. And though he stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Then David says, I was young and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. It's a pretty amazing promise there. Turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart, and his feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives. But the Lord will not leave them at their power or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord. There it is again. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. Wait for the Lord and take the steps in order. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil, but he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. Jesus says, if we're men of peace, we'll be children of God. The peacemakers will be called children of God, but all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous. And remember, this passage has a lot of verses about the righteous. It says, Jesus was made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus, who knew no sin, was righteous. And his righteousness has been given to us. We are righteous because of what Jesus did. It says, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. So we see a couple themes for today, and we're going to take communion over this here in just a second. Commit your ways, commit your plans to the Lord, and he will order your steps. And then trust in that. Trust that he's helping you. Trust that he's ordering your steps. And then begin to walk it out and wait patiently before him to allow him to unfold these steps to you. Now, one thing I want to touch on real quick as well is that in the body of Christ, one of the greatest, we call it table turners for the area of order in our lives, is submission to authority. And God has anointed people in your life. You might say, well, how do I know what the steps are? How to take them in order? God has anointed certain people in our lives to allow us, to help us to put these steps in order, to show us the path and to show us which way to go. And I believe he has anointed certain people. So for example, governmental leaders, whether you like them or not, says that all governmental officials have been put in place by God. They've all been put there by God. And if you will submit to them and follow their leading, it will help you to put some steps in the proper order. In our church bodies, if God has placed you in a local church, God has put you in a church, whoever the leadership of that church is can help you put your steps in order. Wives, submitting to your husbands and your husbands, show your husbands what your plans are. Show him your vision, your dreams, the things you want to do. And your husband has an anointing to help you put the things in order. Children, your parents have an anointing to help you put your steps in order. They are given to you from God to help you to put your steps in order. If you work for somebody in a company or a business, your boss or your leader, you have a leader over you in any capacity in life, that leader is there to help you put those steps in order. Anytime there's hierarchies and levels in life, the people at the higher levels have a higher view, and they can see whether you think that's true or not. If you will submit to it, I believe you will see that they are there to help you put some steps in order and to get this walking out the correct way. Now, the other thing you have, I was just thinking about this. The disciples in the book of Acts, Judas has betrayed Jesus, and they have an open spot. He's betrayed Jesus, and he's dead now. And so now they only have 11 disciples. And Peter discerns by the Holy Spirit that they're supposed to have a replacement for Judas, that they would have another one who takes his place. Well, they pray and ask God for help. And then what do? They cast lots. They roll dice to choose these two out of these two guys, which one God has chosen. And I'm wondering, why are they rolling dice? You know, that's what the soldiers did for Jesus's clothes. They rolled dice to see who was going to get Jesus's clothes. And then I began to see the order of the book of Acts. They cast lots, or they roll dice to decide who is going to be the next apostle or disciple. But then after that, right after that is when the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. Now we have this Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We have this inner witness. We have this anointing from God, this Holy Spirit, this inner witness that teaches us all things. And he can show us how to put the steps in order. So how do you know? When you got the steps in the right order, there will be an internal knowing. There will be a sense of peace and this internal knowing that these are the right steps and they're in the proper order. And your cues will be everything is easier. It saves time. The results are going to be better. Everything is so much more effortless because the grace flows when the steps are in order. But let's take communion over this. Every time we take communion, it's done with just awe, just holy awe for what God and for what Jesus did. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. We bless it in Jesus' name. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So if you have your bread, go ahead and take your bread. Every time we take communion, this is called the bread of the presence. In the Old Testament, they have what's called the bread of the presence. Every time we take communion, we're bringing the sacrifice of Jesus into the present moment, making it relevant and active in our lives right now. That we've got God with us. We've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us to help us to get our steps ordered. So there's less frustration. Everything is easier. The grace flows. The results are better because we've got God with us. And we can trust in him to do that. He is faithful to do that for us. And he's given us people in our lives that can help us to do that if we will submit to their authority. Then on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup. He says, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents, and we bless it in Jesus' name. All right, so every time we take communion, we're making these promises that we're talking about active and alive in our lives. We should go forward from this communion time different from this point on. And how are we going to be different? We're going to walk this out. I'm going to trust that God's with me. He's going to help me to order my steps. I'm going to do the steps in the order that I know to take them. And when I don't know, I'm going to wait. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to allow God to help me put those steps in order because it's going to go a whole lot better and save a whole lot of frustration down the road if I do. And I'm going to use that peace and that joy and that internal knowing on the inside to help me put those steps in order. I'm going to be submitting to levels of authority in my life because that's also going to help me put things in order. And the grace is going to flow so much better. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.